You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to Friday's edition of the Daily Racing Podcast with myself, Michael Wood, and Kevin O'Malley here to look ahead to the best of the day's racing action. What a Friday we have in store, Kevin, with day three of the Ebor Festival at York with the Nunthorpe Stakes taking centre stage. We also have action over at Fos Lass, Newmarket, Goodwood, Salisbury and Hamilton, while over in Ireland there's jumps action at Kilbeggan and a mixed card at Killarney. So an action-packed day of racing, and Racing Radio will have it covered live from 1:25 p.m. with Mark Walton, Chris Pimott and Rory Delaghi, your studio team. Well, Kevin, good to see you. We've just finished watching the Yorkshire Oaks, and what a fantastic performance from Enable.
Yeah, Enable again. She went and made her own running. There was a little bit of concern that there wouldn't be any pace in the race, so she's obviously got stamina and class and everything in abundance, and she handles the ground as well, and she just went out and stamped her authority on the race. Her stablemate Coronet managed to get up for second. I thought she might actually pull away right away from them and win by 10 or 15 lengths, but she just kept on at the same pace, and yeah, really impressive, and surely it'll be all roads leading now to Sean T for a crack at the Ark later on. She's had such an amazing season now. She's won all three Oaks. What else can you say about her? She's just a tremendous talent. The way that she's improved from when she won the Cheshire Oaks at Chester, where she just looked like a prospect. You know, she just looked like a good scopey prospect that would keep on improving. And then the way that she went and won at Epsom was something else, and she's done nothing but impress since. You know, the way that she beat Ulysses in the King George was just magnificent, and she's gone and proved her worth again today. She's obviously still remains in good form, and I'm sure her connections now will freshen her up for a tilt at the Ark.
Indeed, Kevin, and you just mentioned Ulysses there. What a fantastic performance from him to absolutely steal the show, to give Sir Michael Stout his record sixth winner in the Judmont International Stakes.
Yeah, Ulysses was brilliant yesterday. I mean, he's been a bit of a slow burner as a horse. You know, he was well down the field in the Derby as a three-year-old. But he's really came of age this year. You know, he was impressive in the Eclipse Stakes earlier on in the year at Sandown. You know, he only found Enabled too good for him in the King George, and then he followed up with a tremendous effort yesterday. The way he travelled and stamped his authority, you know, he was given £7 away as a four-year-old to the younger three-year-old colts, and they're two top-class colts, Churchill and Barney Roy. He beat them decisively, so it's a top-class piece of form. You can't knock it whatsoever. And I think all roads now will lead to the Breeders' Cup turf for Ulysses, where even as an unfurnished three-year-old, he managed to finish quite an unlucky fourth in the race last year. So yeah, he'll be heading over to the States for a tilt at the Breeders' Cup again, and he's just a top-class animal.
Yeah, he's definitely one to keep an eye on. And in terms of the first day of the Ebor, Kevin, what other sort of highlights did you have?
Well, Cracksman, of course, in the Great Voltigeur at 3 o'clock. He was just he was really dominant there. He beat a good field. Venice Beach stayed on for second, but he's finished second and third in a couple of good races so far this season, but he's improved and improved as a specimen. And you know, he's a son of Frankel, and these Frankels are starting to show that not only have they got a bit of speed and class, they've also got stamina and abundance, because Cracksman stayed on really, really strongly. I mean, he's entered in the Ark, and they might take a crack at the Ark this season, but I think Anthony Oppenheimer, his owner, and indeed John Gosden, they're more looking towards his four-year-old campaign, and he does look as though he'll be a tremendous four-year-old talent. And the King George at Ascot next year has been touted as his main long-term target, so whatever he does for the rest of the season, it'll either be the Irish Champion Stakes and the Ark, or one or the other, or none. They might rest off him. I'm sure they'll just see how he comes out of this race. But he's certainly a top class prospect again for next season.
He really is. Well, let's get stuck into Friday's action, Kevin. We begin with the opener, which is the 155. It's a Class 2 handicap over 1 mile, 3 furlongs and 188 yards. We have 16 runners for this one, and a Game Starter is your early favourite here, currently available at 5-1.
Yeah, he's an interesting colt by Dabawi. He's only had 3 runs to date so far, but he's won his last 2. He's in form, he's unexposed, but ultimately he's unproven at this trip, Michael. This is going to be ran over just shy of a mile and 4. The ground is going to be a little bit tacky as well, and he's been, you know, he stepped from 7 furlongs up to 8 furlongs, and he won over 10 furlongs last time out, but this is another significant step up, an extra 2 furlongs in distance, and I'm just not sure whether that might find him out against some really experienced and tough handicappers. So that would be my concern for Game Starter. But at the same time, he's a young horse. He could well be improving. And, you know, there's always the chance that the step up in trip might bring about more improvement. But I'm a big advocate of stamina. So until I actually see them stay, I'm always sceptical. Another one to mention, Amazing Red, last time out winner. Over 1.4 at Newmarket, turned a real corner there. Was struggling to find his feet before that, but looked very good at Newmarket last time out. He's certain to stay the trip, and he could well be better than a mark of 90. But the one that I'm interested in, also the other Godolphin runner in the field for side Bin Surur with Daniel Tudhope getting the leg up, is at Red Galileo, Michael. He missed 2016 through injury, but he's held his form really well. He ran at Maidan a few times earlier on in the season, and held his form well there. He found things happening a bit too quickly at Royal Ascot, but he followed up with a cracking effort there at Ascot last time out in a good time. He was checked for a run at a key moment, and for me he was a little bit unlucky. So I think he's got a high enough mark of 102, but he's just got a nice mix of experience now and form coming into this race. He doesn't have too many miles on the clock either for a six-year-old, and I think Red Galileo could be the one to beat.
So Red Galileo, the pick for the opener at York on Friday, currently available at 6-1. Let's move on to the next race, which is the 2.25. It's the Group 2 Lonsdale Cup Stakes, run over 2 miles and 56 yards. 9 runners to choose from here, with some familiar faces in Thomas Hobson, currently the 72 favourite, and Dartmouth, currently available at 9-2.
Yes, indeed. Dartmouth at the top of the market, he's going to be a really popular pick, obviously, for Her Majesty Ryan Moore and Sir Michael Stout. It's a formidable trio of connections there for Dartmouth, but he's given weight away to the field here. He's got to give £3 away, and I think he might well have been flattered to when he won the Yorkshire Cup here earlier on in the season. He was a little bit flattered that day. He found that it wasn't enough of a test for him in the Hardwick Stakes when he was fourth there, but I'm just not sure. I think he's going to be vulnerable in the closing stages here, in a stronger race than when he won the Yorkshire Cup earlier on in the season. Further down, the likes of Thomas Hobson, who he's got dreams of going down under for the Melbourne Cup. He was exceptional at Royal Ascot when he won. He was beaten last time out, but he still has to be very much respected. Sir Mark Prescott, St. Michelle, he too, he's unexposed. He could be a smart stayer in the making. He just wouldn't be for me at this stage. Sheikh Zayed Road has to be respected. He represents stacks of Group 1 form. You know, it really is a very open race. The two from a betting perspective that I like, one of them, Montali. I think he's going to be overpriced, Montali. He's a dark horse in the race. He won the Chester Cup. He put in a career best effort when he was second in a listed event at Sandown last time out. Admittedly, this is a lot tougher, but if he continues improving, he doesn't deserve to be double figure odds as he is. But my selection in the race is Del Harold for William Haggis and Pat Cosgrave. He was sixth in that Hardwick, so he finished behind Dartmouth last time out, but before that at York when he won here earlier on in the season, he looked very much a staying prospect to keep on your side. I mean, he's got this sequence where he's 1-1, lost 1, 1-1, lost 1, so he's 3-1, 6-1. He finished 6th last time out, so I'm hoping that he can continue that sequence and win tomorrow. As I say, he's going to appreciate this step back up in trip, so I think Del Harold is the one to beat there in the Lonsdale Cup.
So Del Harold, the one that gets the nod for the 2.25, currently available at 9-2 for that one. Let's move on to the third race of our preview, which is the 3 o'clock. It's the City of York Stakes, a Group 3 event over 7 furlongs. A big field to choose from here, Kevin. And Soudoir heads the betting here, currently available at 6-1.
This for me is the trickiest little race on the card, and it's a really good little race as well. I'm interested to see how these lots sort themselves out. Sue Dewar, he was unlucky at Goodwood last time out, and he has an opening here, but he just finds it hard to win races. Deban is in the race as well for John Gosden. She's a quality three-year-old filly. Three-year-old fillies have actually won the last two renewals of this race because they get a handy allowance there, and you know, quite often they've been able to take advantage of that this season. The three-year-old fillies. I'm just not too sure. Again, she's another one that seems to be quite hard to win with, and she's got a little bit of a corner to turn on her last couple of starts. One of the outsiders there, Ailis, he's an interesting outsider. He was second in the Stewards' Cup last time out. That reads really well. He handles cut as well, so he'll handle the ground, but 7 furlongs is the issue. Mix and Mingle is another one to mention. She was Group 3 winner at Lingfield back in May. She's a strong stayer, and she has to be respected. But my selection in the race, Michael, is Jungle Cat for Charlie Appleby and James Doyle. He'll be double figure odds, I reckon, too, as well. He'll at least be a sensible price. He was never going in the Lennox Stakes last time out. It just never really went his way. But his 5-length victory at Haydock before that was in a really fast time, despite there only being 3 runners. He represents stacks and stacks of good, solid form. And I think he'll be very difficult to keep out of the frame if he shows his best form. So Jungle Cat each way in the 3 o'clock at York for me.
So Jungle Cat, the one that's appeals for Kevin, and currently a 14-1 shot for the 3 o'clock at York. Well, let's move on to the big one, Kevin,
yes,
on Friday, which is the 3:35. It's the Nunthorpe Stakes, a Group 1 event, run over 5 furlongs with 12 runners to choose from. But Kevin, all eyes will be on the battle between the current 5-4 favourite, Lady Aurelia, and Batash, currently available at a 7-4.
It's so difficult to split between these two. I mean, you've got the three-year-old filly and the three-year-old colt. Lady Aurelia, I mean, she did win the Queen Mary at Royal Ascot on soft ground, but I just think she's a better horse on better ground. I mean, she was hugely impressive in the King's Stand last time out. And she gets £3 from Batash, but I just think that Batash is improving remarkably this summer. He's done nothing but improve. He enjoyed a solid juvenile campaign, but he was nothing out of the ordinary last season. He returned in the Scurry Stakes, and he was really impressive there. He hinted at a big leap of improvement there. He followed up with an even more fluent success and professional victory at Sandown after that. So he's won 2 at Sandown, but it was really at Goodwood last time out where he was extremely impressive. The ground was very, very deep there. It was deep, soft ground that day. So he did handle it well enough to win. But I think slightly better ground at York tomorrow, even though it'll probably still be good to soft, will suit him. I've always had this rule in my head that I prefer a top-class colt ahead of a top-class filly. And I'm going to stick with that tomorrow and suggest that Batash, just given his rate of improvement in his last few starts, might just be enough to see him just finished on top of Lady Aurelia. I'm struggling to see anything else getting into the race. I think those two stand out like a sore thumb. But I'm going to stick with Batash.
So Batash, the one for Kevin in the Nunthorpe Stakes on Friday, currently available at 7-4. Well, Kevin, can you just recap your selections, please?
In the 155 at York, I'm going to go for Red Galileo to provide a winner for Godolphin. In the 225 Lonsdale Cup, William Haggis runs Dal Harold, and I think I'm expecting a big run from him. The 3 o'clock at York is a very tricky race, but I think Jungle Cat can outrun big odds and get into the frame. Finally, the 3:35 at York, the Nunthorpe Stakes, is Batash for me.
Well, Kevin, as always, thank you for your thoughts on Friday's action. And remember to join Racing Radio from 1:25 for live coverage of Day 3 of the Ebor Festival and the rest of Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.